The Word Made Flesh, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Had this God not come in human flesh, would we ever know the true God? The true God is only known in the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2010.
Having gays in the military does not hurt the military. It improves the military. It adds to recruitment possibilities.
There are definitely some pretty strong views within the chaplain community. I would not for a minute assume that if the law were repealed, every single chaplain would stay in the military. We should assume that we may lose some of our chaplains.
That's why families everywhere are taught to place the menorah in public view so the entire world can see its light. As the Talmud teaches us, so long as a person still has life, they should never abandon faith.
If that's what you're looking for, is a church in which I am going to have nothing but happy thoughts and be given a positive image of myself, and that's all I want to hear, then repentance is a buzzkill.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, by the calendar, it is not yet even the middle of December. And contrary to what the commercialism of the local department stores and malls will tell you, contrary to what many Christian churches will tell you nowadays, it isn't Christmas yet. It isn't even the Christmas season yet. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live this Friday afternoon, the 10th of December. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about media coverage of Advent and Christmas with Terry Mattingly here in the first part of this hour. A little Issues Etc. comment line follows that, and then it's time to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in about 40 minutes here on Issues Etc. We are coming to you live this Friday, December the 10th. Joining us to talk about media coverage of Advent and Christmas is Terry Mattingly. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. He writes a weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's author of the book Pop Goes Religion. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hope you're having a blessed Advent.
And I am. I'm actually celebrating Advent, always have, and I think always will. You found something out of the norm in the Washington Post about the so-called holiday season. What was it?
They actually did an article that included a section on religious concepts of when Christmas is. I almost fell out of my chair when I read it. I mean, in a sense, the whole purpose of this article is to ask, when do you start putting up your decorations? When do you blow the siren and it's officially Christmas at the home level? And the kinds of ideas that are at play in terms of, you know, husbands who want to do it at this time, wives who want to do it at this time, and just a lot of practical questions about when is it proper to start celebrating Christmas. And lo and behold, right in the middle of that is a passage that goes something like, long gone for American Christians out in the old world norms of decorating trees on Christmas Eve and backloading much of the holiday into the last half of December. Now, that's interesting in that even there are certain assumptions in place. But it is true that even in American films, I guess the one that many of your listeners, you know, might know about would be the Bishop's Wife, with Cary Grant as the angel and all that. And you see people running around getting their trees on Christmas Eve or right at the last minute, you know, to start the celebrations. Of course, in Dickens, you have the actual Christian holiday of Christmas being observed in Dickens stuff. But the main thing was I was stunned that they also picked up something that I had spotted and wanted to write a column about, and the fact that this year the Roman Catholic Bishop of Utah put out a pastoral letter in which he actually asked his parishes and Catholic schools in Utah to celebrate Christmas according to the Christian calendar. And this is truly radical stuff. And so I was surprised to see this in the Washington Post. And while I thought the story was far from perfect, I thought it was a fascinating attempt to at least put the religion note in there, let alone to get it accurate. And, of course, the first day of Christmas is December 25, and, you know, in the Western calendar, and the Catholic calendar changes a little bit from year to year, you have at least 12 days of the Christmas season, you know, ending with the baptism of our Lord or Epiphany or Theophany or whatever your, you know, whatever tradition you're a part of. They have another name for it. But basically, you have a 12-day season, what's supposed to be the biggest party in Christianity, except now, of course, we've yielded that over to the NFL playoffs.
Why is what you found there in the Post, even as meager as it is, why do you consider it radical stuff?
Well, I mean, it's nothing new to say that the holidays are now the American secular tradition. And I was stunned this year when not only did they start showing did the Christmas ads roll out? I mean, like, I saw the first Christmas ad in my house. We don't watch a lot of TV, so it might have come earlier. It rolled out before Halloween. It was the first time I heard the holidays. This year, they started showing, you know, holiday family movies before Thanksgiving. And the entire Thanksgiving weekend was already given over to, like, Christmas film festivals. So, obviously, the legal boundaries of the holidays have now begun to tiptoe out of Black Friday after Thanksgiving and have begun to edge back a couple of weeks before Thanksgiving. And for a number of different reasons, the real core of the American holiday season is probably about right now. It's when schools start letting out and you have the holiday or winter concerts and all of that stuff. And because people's schedules have become so convoluted, if you check out your local newspaper or something like that, you'll see that most church Christmas concerts, even in, you know, using the word Christmas, those concerts have even started. And when you actually arrive at the week before Christmas, the actual Christian celebration, at that point, especially in an age where divorce rates have been running as long as they have, at that point we move into the complications of the travel scene. You know, as Americans try to scatter across, you know, America to as many possible Christmas rendezvous as they possibly can. It's an unbelievably complex time of year for splintered and divided families. And then you have Christmas and it's over. And it's over right precisely when it's supposed to begin.
I guess I got to wonder if, and what you've just described there is certainly kind of the new reality, when it, especially in America,
right?
When it comes to the so-called holidays. A couple of years ago, there was a big kerfuffle about not so much Christians, but social conservatives in a backlash to what they kind of consider progressive politics, you know, taking Christmas back, putting Christmas back in there, and they wanted to eradicate the word holidays and get Christmas back, and they were doing it all at the wrong time of the calendar year, ironically.
Yeah, you just have irony heaped upon irony at this point. I mean, there's a First Baptist Church in Dallas right now is trying to create like a list of stores that are refusing to use the word Christmas and asking their members to boycott them. Now, the irony, of course, is they're doing all of this completely out of the ancient calendar. But then again, to be blunt about it, they're Baptists. So what does the calendar have to do with them? So the irony is they're already celebrating Christmas according to the shopping mall's calendar while protesting that they're losing Christmas. Which brings us to one other point that of the two things that I wish that the Washington Post had done, I wish they had actually focused more on this whole idea of where basically non-church or secular people get their Christmas traditions. In other words, how they emerge out of family life and how they absolutely, positively, they just know the tree's supposed to go up on December 15 and they get into fights with their wife about it. And kind of, I would have liked to see them pursue that. So ironically, I said that the story wasn't secular enough. The other thing that they could have gotten into, but I think it's an entire other story, and it would be very controversial. Yeah, undoubtedly, this war on Christmas, put Christ in Christmas and all this, a lot of people think it's about secularism, And you hear people say, you know, after all, America is a Christian nation, and it should be okay to have Christmas. That's another piece of the rhetoric that gets tossed around this time of year. But one of the things that we have to admit is that America has never been a Christian nation. It's mostly a Protestant nation. And I'm not saying Protestant does not equal Christian. I'm saying a specific part of Christianity is at the heart of America's tradition. When you, if you think back to the colonies, which of course is when our Christmas traditions begin to evolve until Coca-Cola and the advertising industry takes over, you know, at the end of the 19th century, the dawn of the 20th century, all the states had their own kind of Protestant calendars or characters, or, you know, Maryland was a place that was a safe haven for the Catholics, and then you have Virginia dominated by the Anglicans, and the Puritans dominated, you know, Massachusetts and parts. So you have all these different conflicting, you know, religious elements. Well, at Christmas, basically, everybody just started doing their own thing. And there is no one tradition in America that tells us anything about Christmas. In fact, many of the, you know, founders of our country and this culture were, frankly, kind of opposed to Christmas. So America has been confused about Christmas for a long, long time. And there's no way to say that there is any standard American view of what Christmas is and when it is. The ultimate issue is whether there are any Americans who are going to have kind of the countercultural courage to actually celebrate their faith's concept of Christmas.
Well, when we come back, we've talked a lot about the Western version of Christmas, something Carrie may be able to speak to here on the other side of the break. There are a fair number of Christians in the world that won't be celebrating Christmas itself until, I believe, the first week in January. We'll talk a little bit about that, discussing media coverage of Advent and Christmas with Terry Mattingly of GetReligion.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
The shepherds' hearts were full of fear. They shook right in their shoes. But then the angel called to them, "Fear not, I've got good news." Words from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, a children's book, The Shepherds Shook in Their Shoes. You can find out more about this great stocking stuffer at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase The Shepherds Shook in Their Shoes and other great Christmas arch books for children by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the 2011 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights in Strasbourg, France.
The listeners to Issues Etc. already have had contact through the program with lecturers who will be in Strasbourg this next summer. Craig Parton, myself, Dr. Minuge, Angus Minuge, Adam Francisco, and these lecturers are people who have defended the faith, who know how to defend the faith, and who are marvelous communicators. And so, if a listener to this program wants to learn how to present the case for Christianity in a secular situation, the 2 weeks in the French Rhineland with us would be an absolutely ideal way to achieve this.
You can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July 5th through the 16th in Strasbourg, France, at apologeticsacademy.eu.
Our Lutheran theology ought to have an influence that would make a Lutheran youth group observably different in some way than a Catholic youth group or a Presbyterian youth group, because these theologies do make a difference.
A friend of mine said that pietism is like herpes. It's always with the person in his body.
a steady diet of this type of song used in this way is conditioning the congregation to believe in a certain way.
Do not pull this Midwest humble crap with God. Do not try to hide your feelings from God or pretend to be someone else. Don't act all shy and self-conscious, because that is an insult.
In about 20 minutes here on Issues Etc. Live this Friday, December the 10th, we'll be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We're talking with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of Christmas and of Advent. Terry is founder and editor of GetReligion.org. He writes a weekly on religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's author of the book Pop Goes Religion. Terry, we've talked a lot about Western Christianity, its observance of the Advent slash Christmas season, but there is another rather well-represented celebration of Christmas that wouldn't even begin talking about it until the first week in January.
Well, that's some Orthodox. Most Orthodox in America go ahead and use the Western calendar for Christmas. We celebrate Easter or Pascha on the older calendar. There are Orthodox Christians who go ahead and use the older calendar, which puts Christmas, like I believe, on the 6th of January. And that is old calendar Russians. So, you know, every year you see the Christmas specials or the news item that, you know, today Moscow is celebrating Christmas. Or you'll see the beautiful images of the church in Jerusalem. The Palestinian churches, the church in Jerusalem, the ancient Patriarchate of Jerusalem, Russia, most of Eastern Europe celebrate on the old calendar. Here in America, most Eastern Orthodox Christians go ahead and celebrate on the Western calendar. But depending on the parish, there'll be a much heavier emphasis on the season that instead of Advent, in the Orthodox tradition, it's called Nativity Lent, which means we're in the awkward position, or the countercultural position, of trying to be carrying out a fast during the month of December. we don't eat meat. Some people go ahead and fast totally from meat and dairy, which kind of makes Christmas parties hard. And we make sure that we go to confession at least once during that season, and there are extra services in the middle of the week. And so we're actually celebrating or honoring, following, the second most important penitential season in Christianity precisely at the time that basically the world around us is going nuts. The Catholic Church stopped celebrating Advent as a penitential season sometime within the last century or so. That was something I tried to find out for a column I wrote on this, and I haven't been able to establish that. The Bishop of Utah goes out of his way in his pastoral letter to say that Advent is not a penitential season. It's a season of joyful waiting, you know, for the coming of the Lord. But so even in Catholicism, you might have some disagreement there on precisely what Advent is.
A couple final questions for you, Terry. Are you a Twelfth Night guy? Is that something? Because that is something that if the Christmas season proper, that is the one that starts at the Nativity of our Lord, is lost, then, I mean, by the time you're 12 days out from Christmas, come on, people have left it long behind.
Yep. Well, that's an absolutely great, great question. And there are several things that my family, even before we converted to Orthodoxy, that we were attempting to honor. Number one is that there actually is a real saint who's got lost totally in this, and that is St. Nicholas of Myra, someone who took part in the Nicene Council, of the ancient church fathers, the one that gives us the Nicene Creed. St. Nicholas of Myra was there, patron saint of defenseless children, abandoned children, and of pawnbrokers, too, although that's kind of irrelevant. Seafarers, which is how the legends of St. Nicholas got all the way up the coast of Europe, all the way up to Amsterdam, where the people from Amsterdam took it to New Amsterdam, which turns into New York, where when the ad agencies start looking for a figure to celebrate other than Jesus in Christmas ads, you end up with Santa Claus, and Father Christmas and the other things that grew out of St. Nicholas, of course, turns into Santa Claus. So we've gone out of our way to try to remember St. Nicholas of Myra actually on his date, and many Orthodox churches celebrate that as a date of collections you know, small gifts to your children and stuff, but also teaching your children to focus on the poor and especially needy children. There are Orthodox churches that observe that day as a chance to focus on women having crisis pregnancies and raise money for those who are struggling with the crisis pregnancy situations. Now, so you have that. Then you have Christmas itself, and then, as you say, the 12 days. The key to me is, can you manage to hold parties during the 12 days? Can you get your church to actually focus on that? And the irony is, once everybody kind of gets back from New Year's or from their travels, or that kind of the dead zone between Christmas and New Year's, a lot of people have all kinds of room on their calendars. I mean, nobody's doing much. They're exhausted from the secular holiday. You can actually pull off a choir party. You can pull off a church dinner to talk about what Christmas really is. And then, as you said, Twelfth Night is an opportunity to actually close the Christmas season on a date when most people in America are not going to be doing anything. You know, either on Epiphany or the day before it or right in that, you can slip in a Twelfth Night party. My own personal conviction, and I'll close with this, my conviction is that in my life, on my bucket list, to use the hot phrase, is I want to be arrested for caroling in a mall during Christmas.
Real Christmas.
Real Christmas. I think that would be such a kick. I mean, like, once the decorations come down really fast. It's like whammo, and they're down. And it's the sacred days of gift returning, you know, come in. But I think it would be really cool to get, like, a choir from our church and go caroling in a mall during the actual 12-day season of Christmas and be arrested and hauled off in chains or, you know, whatever. I just think that would be really cool.
I can just picture it. Terry in his little Santa's hat and his carol book in his hands, a lone figure.
No Santa's hat, maybe okay. A mitre, you know, to celebrate for the real bishop.
Absolutely. Finally then, Terry, what would you tell newsroom editors about how to cover the real celebration of Christmas and the season leading up to it, Advent and Christmas?
Well, I mean, first of all, there are untold stories here. In fact, I ended my post at Get Religion on this topic by suggesting to the Washington Post that they try to find out if anybody's doing a 12th night party. That would be an interesting story in and of itself. And then you should, like I said, there's this unwritten story of the secular traditions and where they actually came from. And then finally, the irony that you brought up, this conflict between wanting to celebrate Christmas as Christmas and put Christ in Christmas while your church is doing its Christmas party in concert on December the 10th and puts its decorations up, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. In other words, how do you put Christ in Christmas if you can't manage to put Christmas in Christmas? Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
That to me would be a very interesting story to write.
Terry Mattingly is founder and editor of GetReligion.org. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's author of the book Pop Goes Religion. Terry, thank you very much.
Thank you.